hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26. It's going to come up on the screen, and this is the main passage tonight. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" Give up. Well, we all have that friend who every month is like, "I've given up sugar." And you invite them over for dessert and then you're like, "Ugh, what are they going to eat?" Or maybe, "I've given up processed foods," or "I've given up takeaways." This one time me and Stephen gave up takeaways for, I don't know, some unknown amount of time. And it kind of was so funny because we'd like say, okay, no like drive-through takeaways. But then cafes were kind of like, is that takeaways? Like, if you buy fries from a cafe, is it takeaways if it's not from the drive-through? I don't know. And if you eat it in, like, it's not takeaways. So we started blurring the lines a bit. But anyway, basically just, you know, those people are like, good luck trying to cook me food. I'll probably just bring my own. But what is weird is that people don't seem to say, "I've given up Brussels sprouts," or "I've given up silver beet," or "I've given up going to the gym because I just had a membership and I was paying hundreds of dollars and I never went." They don't really tell you about those things, do they? We keep them to ourselves. But how many of us can truthfully say, "I have given up having things my own way in order to follow Jesus"? Jesus said, "If you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it." Or maybe, how many of us can truthfully say, "I'm learning to give up things, having things my own way in order to follow Jesus"? What does it mean to give up your life? Think about the disciples. When Jesus was here on earth, it actually meant for them to leave their jobs. They were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. And I don't know what the other jobs were, but they left their jobs, their families, and they signed up to literally following Jesus, like walking beside him, watching him, listening to him, observing him, learning from him. They became his apprentices. And he was their teacher and master. So everywhere he went, they went. And what's interesting is Jesus didn't give them a project overview before they signed up. He didn't give them a 2-year plan, and he didn't promise to cook them dinner or buy them a coffee if they followed him. He did actually say to the fishermen, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." But there wasn't much explanation, right? It was just basically a command, "Follow me, be my disciple." And for these fishermen, following Jesus was way more than just listening to Jesus' latest podcast. It was way more than just heading along to the synagogue services when they had time to hear Jesus preach. It was way more than just a connect group and a reminder on their phone to pray when they were out fishing. It was every day, walking, talking, living the way Jesus walked, talked, and lived. And you know, we can kind of think, well, maybe it wasn't so hard for them. Maybe Jesus was super awesome, and of course everyone wants to hang out with him. But it wasn't actually that popular. You know, there was a time when Jesus was teaching, and a whole lot of his disciples, you know, a large group of people that were following him, found his teaching too hard. And it says in the Bible that they were like, "Oh, Jesus, what are you on about? This is too hard." And they left him. And Jesus said to the rest of the disciples who had left, "Do you want to leave too?" So it wasn't really that popular. Do you know what Peter said to Jesus when he said, "Do you want to leave?" Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." You see, even though Jesus was Following Jesus was hard. Following Jesus was risky and it wasn't popular. They found life. And it's the same with us. Giving up our own way and our own preferences is actually really hard. It's not easy. It costs us and it hurts. And if you're anything like me, you like doing things your way. That's why I do it my way, right? Because I like it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't like it. But Jesus comes into the middle of my way of doing things the way I like, living my life the way I like. And he says, hey, Rachel, will you follow me? Will you take up your cross? It's ultimately going to cost you your life. But if you try and save your life by doing things your own way, you'll actually miss out on the real life, the abundant life, the costly life, the completely committed life, where everything counts for much more than just this brief vapor of air that we breathe for a few years here on earth. It counts eternally. And it's the life that we were originally born to live. There's treasure to be found in giving up your own way. There's treasure. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it costs. And for some of us, it may even mean death. In February 2015, 21 Christian men were forced to kneel on a beach in Libya. You may have seen the harrowing video. They were dressed in orange jumpsuits, chained to black-clad masked men. The captives prayed, their lips moving silently, their eyes closed. And as the blades fell, they gave up their lives. They followed Jesus in the ultimate sacrifice, a martyr's death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, an awesome guy who lived during World War II and who was part of the resistance to the Nazi regime, he was a Christian and he said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. If any of you want to be my follower, Jesus said, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you don't give up, you can't take up. If you don't give up your way, you cannot take up his way. If you don't give up your life, you cannot take up his life. If you don't give up, you can't take up. It's impossible to take up your cross when you haven't given up your own way because your hands are full of earthly treasure. What are you carrying around with you? What is the most precious thing you have? Is it the cross of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to carry the cross? I love what Lisa Bevere writes, and I'm going to read this out because she says it really well, better than I could. The cross I carry is all that Jesus has done for me, just as the cross you carry is your gospel or witness of what he has done for you. But it doesn't stop there. We're containers that pour out heaven's precious gifts. Paul describes it this way. We carry this precious message of the cross around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. We do not filter the gospel, we just carry it. In this way, the extraordinary is transferred within the confines of our daily ordinary. She says, each day I take the hope, love, and forgiveness of the cross with me to the grocery store, on the plane, and to the office. I carry it everywhere my life takes me. These are the places where I offer the power and the wonder of the cross. There's a hurting world all around you that needs what you carry. What has Jesus done for you? That is the cross you are to take up and carry into your world. What if each day we prayed, Heavenly Father, may everything that the crucifixion of your Son provided gain full expression in and through my life today? Those are Lisa Bevere's words. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. As humans, we all have finite time, energy, and resources, and I often wish this was not the case, but it is. And the more I read the Bible and the commands written by Jesus, that Jesus gave us to follow, I realize that they all take a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of resources. And I want to take the Great Commission in Matthew 28 tonight and just apply it through this lens of giving up your own way, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. Because this is what Pastor Steve preached about a couple of weeks ago. It says Matthew 28, verse 19, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this making disciples things, it does sound quite great. It sounds like a really good thing to do, right? But did Jesus really mean that we have to like hang out with people and spend time with people, discipling them, like teaching them and discipling them? Because that's going to take a lot of time. Some people are really slow learners, you know. I have a lot of Netflix to catch up on, you know. Did you hear The Crown is coming out in 2019? I need to be able to watch season 3 of that. It's going to take a lot of energy to disciple people. I don't know if I have any energy to hang out with more people. I'm an introvert and I really need to stay at home and hang out with my cat. And discipling people is going to take a lot of resources. I mean, I don't really want to spend money buying someone else lunch or, well, I have to cook someone dinner. I've got debts to pay off and I really need to upgrade my iPhone. You know, the more I look at what it means to make disciples, it actually requires a lot more than just sharing the words of the gospel, but also sharing our lives. Doesn't just seem to fit in a couple of hours on a Sunday and connect group on Thursday. And although I'd love it to, the more I study it, I'm just like, it's not going to work. Like, I cannot fit these commands of Jesus into this box that I call my Christian life. Because it turns out that when Jesus says, if you hang on to your life, you will lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. It's not just because he's trying to be tricky or make us suffer, but it's because if you actually try to hold on to your own life in your own way, you actually tie yourself up in knots trying to figure out how to obey Jesus, well, you're trying to do your own thing as well. And you just end up stressed at the end because you can't do it all. I know this because I have tried. And it didn't work. And the more I look into the Word of God, the more I am challenged and convicted that the way I have been living is not the way I should live in the future. Right now, our generation faces an epidemic of loneliness, hopelessness, anxiety, stress, and overwhelm. But it will not overtake us. It will not conquer us, and it will not win. Because God is raising up this generation of Jesus followers who take seriously the call to give up their own way and to take up their cross. They are ready to lay down their lives, their time, their energy, their resources for others. They don't run from things like discipling others because it takes too much time and patience and doesn't have instant results. They're not afraid of spending their time, energy, and resources for the kingdom of God because they carry the cross through life, embodying and expressing the message of the gospel in every moment of every day. They know that a life lived for the cross is the only life worth living. I wonder if that's you. Before we go any further, I'm going to invite Sarah to the stage and she's going to share with us a spoken word.
A life breathed from perfection, thrown down to the floor, his body beaten and sore, his flesh ripped wide open for every man in a torture so brutal history itself could not ignore. A nail through each hand and each foot for my sins, for yours. Blood flowed down his brow as we crowned him with thorns. By grace, he gazed to the heavens and said, "Forgive them, O Lord." He died for us all. That's right. He died for you, and for you. For by the blood of the Lamb, we have been renewed. Now a new life, a new creation, a new purpose has been issued. This, our second chance to be made right with the King. There is no time for stalling. It's time to rise to answer the calling that's been placed on our lives. For far too long, this world has been deprived of the spiritual leaders that have been called to arise. The excuses of "I can't," "they won't," "why me," join to make up a symphony, voices coming together to build a wall, trying to drone out the call. But it's your response that will determine if you'll stand or if you'll fall. Will you hide behind the lies that seek to keep you silent, contorting your life into a disguise? Or will you choose to respond to the victorious King who formed you, created you, and called you to sing? It's your choice now. What will you choose? Jesus beckons you come, no longer accused. He invites you to the table. Will you respond to the good news?
What is your response tonight? Before we finish, I just want to get practical about what it means to really give up your own way and take up your cross, because it's really easy to read the scripture and often harder to apply it to real life. I just want you to think about how this impacts your life right now, tonight. A great theologian, Pastor Warren Gumen, said, "The danger is that we push out the purpose of God on our lives into the future, and we miss what God is doing in our lives and our relationships right now." So how does this message impact your life right now? Now, recently, my husband, Stephen, and I, we've been exploring this idea of how can we follow Jesus more closely by making disciples. And one thing that Stephen mentioned that he is wanting to do is to give up some of his commitments so that he has more time available just to hang out and be a friend and encourage some of those people around him. And the key here is that he's not actually looking for extra people to disciple and mentor, but he's taking note of the people that God has already placed around him. And he's just creating space for those kingdom moments to happen. The ones that can't be planned, you just have to be ready and available for them. What is it for you? What is God calling you to give up? Maybe God is calling you to give up living outside your means financially, or even just spending 100% of your paycheck on yourself, so that instead you can be generous with your finances and use it to further the kingdom and to, you know, help and reach out other people around you. For myself, I've started to practice in the last few weeks just being more prayerful throughout my day and working to stay in prayer as much as possible. And this is especially important as when I feel drained or tired, I can start feeling a bit fearful or anxious about being around people. and feeling like it's going to be too hard to like interact with them, and so I just want to avoid people. Or otherwise, I'm with people, but I'm not really present in the moment, and I'm not actually like ministering to them. I'm just there, but not really there. The cool thing is that as I've been disciplining myself to stay in prayer more throughout the day, I've found the presence of God kind of begins to flood my mind and also my body, and I actually have more energy and more love to give to people. So it's like my whole mindset and physical being changes, and as a result, I'm able to give out something which I didn't even know I had, because I am functioning out of that prayerful mindset of being in the presence of God instead of functioning in my own strength. So that's something that I've taken up. So what is it for you that God is asking you to take up? As we finish, I just want to invite the band to come and join me. And let's read Matthew 6, verse 33 together. It's going to come up on the screen. We're going to read it in the Amplified Bible. These are Jesus' words. "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and tomorrow is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy or distracted, saying, 'What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear?' For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, and most importantly," remember this is Jesus speaking, "seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. Seek first." Where is your life aiming? Tonight it's your moment to give up your own way and take up the cross of Jesus. Whether it's for the first time or the 100th time, it's always a good time to surrender to Jesus. You don't have to be in control of your life, but you do have to give up control so that he can take control of your life.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.